Well, then I'll just look the other way.
Because I know Sparky and Connie are pretty good, but anyway. All right. We sure didn't get finished with Philippians chapter 3 last Wednesday night, so we're going to try to do it tonight. Anyway, we got through verse 12, and tonight we're going to start with verse 13. Anyway, I want to back up and read a few verses to get into this. Try to get a feeling of what Brother Paul is talking about here and make it a little bit easier to understand what he's saying in tonight's lesson. So Philippians chapter 3 and I'm going to start reading with verse 7. This is where he just got done talking about all the things that he had done. And how he thought that they were, you know, worthless until he, the Lord visited him and showed him what he was under God's judgment and under sin. And so anyway, we'll read verse 7 through 12 and then start tonight's lesson in verse 13. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So Paul goes on here to say, he says, yeah, he's received a lot of blessings, a lot of grace and everything, but it's not all, not yet. I count not myself to have apprehended. He didn't gain them by his own actions, did he? But this one thing I do. He said, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, in my studies, I come across two far different explanations for this. And one is that those things behind, could it be talking about our sins, our disobedience to God? And the other is that the things that we have already done to serve the Lord. And I believe that that's what it's talking about here because of the previous verses in chapter 3. Anyway, it says, forgetting those things which are behind, the things that I've already done, and, you know, we might think, you know, well, we're serving the Lord with everything we have. Well, no, we're not. But anyway, it goes on and says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You forget those things that you've already done, You don't pound yourself on the chest and say, look at me, look at what I've done. You pat yourself on the back. I can't do that because it hurts. But reaching forth unto those things which are before. How can I serve the Lord better? And I think this is Paul's modus operandi. He wants to do things better for the Lord. And he is blessed with these people, the saints at Philippi. And he's written this letter to them and tell them how he has joy just thinking about them. Now, I don't know if we all have joy thinking about our brothers and sisters here at King's Edition. I have joy thinking about Roger. And Sparky sometimes, but you know. We need to have kind thoughts for one another. You want to pray for somebody? Think good of them. Think well of them. I want those that can't be here tonight, I want them to get better. I want them to be here. That way they can listen to me. See, if they stay home, they got to watch me on the videos, and I get more views that way. But that's not what we're aiming for. We're not aiming for views. We're aiming to open God's Word and hopefully explain to some that might have a little bit of trouble understanding some things. And in many cases, that's me. That's why in verse 13 here, I said there are two ways that I studied about where it explains the things behind and the things before. So I think it's the latter that he's talking about his service to the Lord with things behind. You know, those were the things that he's already done, and he can't keep saying, you know, what a good guy I am or anything like that. But the things before, the things that's still yet to be done. Anyway, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what mark is that? It's a mark we can't attain. Sinless perfection. This should be our goal. We can't obtain it. We will obtain it through the shed blood of Christ when He comes and takes us home and we're made perfect. And we're going to hear about glorified bodies and things like that here just in a little bit. But he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. What is the high calling of God? To serve Him. To glorify the Lord. That's our purpose here on earth, is to glorify God. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How can we glorify God if we're not in Christ? We can't. Now, God is going to be glorified in the judgment of those that don't know the Lord. Because He's going to judge a perfect judgment. And those that are going to be cast into hell are going to glorify Him. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now, we're not perfect. And that's not what this is saying. This is talking about mature believers, those that have knowledge of God's Word, those that are close to the Lord. Again, don't think, many times throughout the Bible, the word perfect just means mature or complete. It doesn't necessarily mean perfect like sinless perfection or zero errors or anything like that. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, the same way. Think the same way. I hesitate to say that I think the same way as Roger because, you know, it's kind of scary. But as far as the service to the Lord is concerned, we should have the same thoughts. I want to serve the Lord. each and every one of us. Connie, on the way over tonight, she said, "I've got this hymn in my head." And anyway, she told me what it was. I said, "That's the one that's been in my head too, and I thought for sure you was going to pick it out to sing tonight, but you didn't." So we're not going ooh, or anything like that. So anyway, sometimes you get thoughts in your head about that, a hymn. Well, if you have a thought in your head about a hymn, just go ahead and sing it. Maybe if you don't think you can sing very good, think it in your head. And the Lord knows what you're thinking. And hopefully, you know, you're going to get a blessing out of it, other than trying to stifle it. Do we try to stifle our service to the Lord? I think we do from time to time. We need to be easily led by the Holy Spirit. And I think maybe that might be what it was today with her and her song and my song, you know. But anyway, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you're not thinking the right way, or if you're thinking something maybe that's not right, He's going to be revealing it to you. He's going to show you. Now, how does He show you? Again, I know that this is like beating a drum all the time, but get in His Word. Get in His Word. Study in His Word. This is where we have the words of God. We need to understand that on our own, we're not going to come up with good and righteous thoughts and things like that. We need to depend on the Lord to give us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need. I mean, how can we present the Lord to those out in the world that don't know Him if we kind of act like we don't know Him or don't know Him very well? Yeah, I want to tell you about this great friend I've got. He went to the cross, and that's all we know. And there are a lot of people, there's not much else that they do know. We need to want to find out more about the Lord, as much as we can find out. We're not going to find out everything while we're here. But we need to be like-minded, and if we are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He's going to let you know. He's going to let you know. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Okay, we have already attained. Yeah, we've got a portion of grace already. There's more coming. Just saying, one of these days we're going to be able to stand in God's very presence. We're going to be able to see Him in all His glory. We can't do that now. There's not going to be any sin between us. And then we really are going to be perfect. And the word perfect can mean perfect. He goes on and says, let us walk by the same rule. What rule? God's rules. He's going to tell us, you know, He's not going to leave us here and we got to figure it out on our own. He gave us this great big book. And He's got all His instructions in here. Everything we need to know. Now, are there other things in this? Sure. The Bible says there's much that wasn't written down, just even about Christ's life while He was here on the earth. There's not many things. Well, probably more than was written. But we need to walk by the same rule and follow God's Word. And it says, let us mind the same thing. We think the same way. Now, unfortunately, we have this thing in our world called denominations. And denominations are a work of the devil. And if you see what the Lord's true church is by studying in His Word, and you have other denominations, and they appear pretty good, and yet over here they don't believe this, or over here they do believe this, and it's not according to the Word of God. These things, we need to think the same way. In other words, follow God's Word. And if you're in an organization, I'll put it that way, and you're listening tonight, and you're pretty sure that they're not teaching the full counsel of God, you need to find yourself a real church, not a denomination. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me. Okay. Now, we're going to study a little bit here. Are we to follow Paul? Well, after a fashion, yes. But who are we to really follow? We're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be Christians, which means Christ-like. We are to be like Him. He is the one we are to follow. But it says, brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So, not just follow me, but those that walk the same as I do. And why? To be an example. You want your kids to learn about God? Live a godly life in front of them. You want to tell your neighbors about the Lord and live like the devil? It ain't going to happen. They'll laugh at you, and rightly so. If you're a child of God, you need to act like a child of God. And what's Paul saying? You know, I'm your example. No, not really. But I'm the one that's here on this earth. I'm the one that you can see. And mark those that walk the same way I do. Follow them too. And when you're living a life that gives glory to God and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, then people are going to look to you as an example. And then when they look to us as an example, then we can show them the real example, the Lord Jesus Christ. But, there's always a but, isn't there? Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping. Uh-oh, there's a downside here. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those that seem to be righteous. They're not. We have many pious people in our land, and I would dare say many of them don't know the Lord. They say things that give glory to man. You know, you can earn your salvation. You can. I just was watching something on YouTube the other day, and matter of fact, I think it was last night, and Franklin Graham was on there, and he said, I want you to say this prayer, and you'll be saved. And Brother Steve's talked about this many times, and it's, it makes you so aggravated. And people still do this. Say the sinner's prayer. Come up here and kneel before the well, that's a table. I don't know what else you would call it. That's a table. No. Trust the Lord Jesus. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins. And live a life that gives Him glory. And Paul, this touching, it makes me angry. But what does it do to Paul? It says it, he tells even weeping. Breaks his heart. How many times have you talked to people and say, yeah, but. Grandpa believed this. Or my mom says this. It's not about what Grandpa taught or what Mom believes or whatever. It's what the Word says, what God's Word says. You follow God's Word. Even weeping. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think of a poorer losing position to have, to be an enemy of the cross of Christ. You're going to lose. And you might think, well, you know, I'm doing God's service. Now, Paul, as he was on the road before the Lord showed himself to him, he thought he was doing God's service. He was a Pharisee. The strictest sect in the Jewish faith there. And he thought, I'm serving the Lord with all my might. Look at this, I'm putting people to death even. Where in God's Word does it say that we're supposed to witness to people by putting them to death? You believe or you die. No, there are other organizations that do that. But that's not us. At least it's not supposed to be. But they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction. I dare say that no place in the Bible does it say that a child of God has an end of destruction. We have a glorious end. You know, our end is just the beginning. Because we're going to be with the Lord all the time. From now on. Well, for eternity. And I can't get my head wrapped around eternity. And I don't really think I know anybody that does. And you hear people talking about the day and everything and how long the day is going to be in heaven and everything like that. We're only going to be in heaven for one day. But it's a day that never ends. There's not going to be any darkness. Always light. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. And I'm not going to say anything about bellies because I got one. But what does this mean? You carnal wants. What you want? You know, now, we had Connie made eggy stuff for supper tonight. And I dearly love eggy stuff. You take potatoes and you fry them and you have bits of bacon in there with it and onion. And you fry the potatoes up, and then you take probably a dozen eggs, give or take a few, and you pour that on there, and you cook that till the eggs are done. And then you take some cheddar cheese, and you put on top of that, and you cook that till it all melts down. You talk about good now. It is really good. But I don't know where I was going with this, but I burped a little bit, maybe, and I had an eggy stuff burp, you know. But anyway, whose God is their belly? You know, achy stuff isn't everything, is it? Even though it is wonderful. Anybody that's ever had achy stuff knows, boy, it is good. But you know what? Serving the Lord and looking forward to the time when we can be in His very presence, it's far better. Far better. We can't serve our own bellies. And whose glory is in their shame? Are we ashamed of sometimes of the things that we do? I have eaten so much from time to time where I just sit there and I can't bend my knees even. That's how full I am. I got to sit in my big butt chair with my legs stuck straight out in front of me down like that. Now that's full. It's I won't say bordering on gluttony. That's gluttony. And when you go to get up, you can't bend in the middle to kind of rock and get up out of your big butt chair. I'll tell you now. This is whose glory is their shame. They glorify in the things that they should be ashamed of. Who mind earthly things. That brings us back to eggy stuff, doesn't it? No, not really. I look at that as kind of a heavenly type thing that we're getting to see a little bit of here, you know, but it's not, no, I won't say heavenly stuff, but boy, it's good. But there are other things that are good too. Did you think, you know, like a nice, fresh garden salad with blue cheese dressing and cheese, and you sit there and you think you could eat your own weight in that. All these things, you know, that, and they're not bad. If they were bad, the Lord wouldn't have given them to us. Things in and of themselves is not bad. But when you begin to worship these things, there's a saying, you know, you eat to live, you don't live to eat. And like I said, you know, sometimes some of us, and I ain't going to mention my name or anything, but sometimes we got it backwards, don't we? And who mind earthly things? Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. That's where our life is. That's where we live. Not yet. But we're going to be there. Our conversation. This isn't home. This is where we're at right now. We're passing through. We're travelers. And we know what our destination is. And we know how to get there. We need to get there in a manner that's pleasing to God. And He's coming to get us. Now, how do we know that? It's been a long time, hasn't it? No. It's been that long compared to the time we're going to be with the Lord later on. Our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be where He is, don't we? That's what we say. Hopefully we believe what we say. And it bothers me when a member has no reason not to be in God's house. And they're just not here. How can you not want to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ and say you want to go to heaven and be with them forever and ever and ever? My mom told that to my dad one time. He died a lost man, as far as I know. And mom had been witnessing to him again. And he said, well, how do you know I'm not saved? Being kind of a smart aleck about it, really, because that was the way he was. And she said, well, you don't want to go to God's house and be with God's children. You don't want to be with God's people, and really you don't want to be with the Lord. And that kind of shut him up. Now, our goal isn't to shut people up. It's to show them the Lord and show them their need. Show them that they stand under God's judgment. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Isn't this a vile body? I think me and Roger know, as some others maybe a little bit less so. Well, I don't know. There's some others here that have some things just as bad as us. It might not be as painful and everything, but I got a vile body. You know, it's got things wrong with it that it reminds me of every day. But I don't think this is talking about that. The bad back and the other things that can go wrong with us. I think this is talking about how we use our bodies. If we don't use them to serve the Lord, then indeed we got vile bodies. And he says, he shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. His glorified body. We're going to have a glorified body, just like the Lord Jesus. Won't be any gut on me, I don't think. Maybe so, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that one. But I know I will be like him. And the book doesn't say anything about him eating to excess or anything like that. It does say things about me eating to excess, but anyway, we're going to have a glorious body, like unto his glorious body. I might be wrong on this, but no, wait a minute. I'm looking in the wrong spot here. Well, I've totally lost my place there, so we'll forget that for tonight. Anyway, we're going to have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Not because we deserve it, because we don't, but because he's able to subdue these things in our pestilence-filled body, our vile body, as it says here. He's able to subdue all that. And he's going to change us. We're going to be changed. We're going to have a glorious body, a glorified body. And because that's what the Lord wants us to have. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen next week. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe we'll be in Philippians chapter 4. And maybe finish out our study in Philippians. We'll have to wait and see how that works out. But it's got enough. There's enough here for at least two more lessons, so we'll wait and see. Maybe Steve won't be having to leave and go on Wednesday nights. I know he hates having to do that, but you know he's got to, and we need to carry on. If he can't be here, we can't just not have service. Anyway, let's go ahead and have our